Hello.
This is Stephanie.
How's it going?
Good.
We're really going to confuse you today because you got the two Stephanies on the line. There's usually three of us, but Nadine, she couldn't be with us because of work. But so I'm Steph Harlech.
Okay.
And then Steph.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Yeah. And then Steph Workington.
Nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, yeah, usually, I mean, we kind of start off by just getting a little bit of backstory and stuff. So have you always been in the horse business to kind of get you into the stallion business?
Yeah, I mean, our family's always been into the horse business, I'd say. We started riding. We were really into stock shows and showing sheep and, you know, doing that kind of thing. So always into agriculture. And we did that. My dad, he comes from a family that has a big sheep production, and you know, we kind of came from that, and my dad always rode and my mom rode growing up, and I'm not as into it as we are, you know, now, but they did it, you know, as we grew up. And I have four sisters, and we all you know, started riding, you know, pretty young, and was always into that, you know, lifestyle. And then as we got older and more into, as my older sister got into high school rodeo, we really started getting into barrel racing. And then we stopped showing and, you know, doing the sheep thing and went completely into horses. And so it's just kind of been, you know, more of a, you know, just our, I mean, I'd say not really the hobby. We did it, I'd say more as a hobby, you know, growing up, and, you know, it was kind of our whole life. But before we, until we bought the Goodbye Lane, it, you know, really became our, you know, our full business and what we do now. So, it kind of, you know, catapulted us into doing what we do now. So it's been good.
Yeah. So speaking about the Goodbye Lane, like, how did you guys end up with him?
Oh gosh. It's such an interesting story that probably would never happen again. So
really?
it's kind of a fun story, and it's a good story. But so how it all happened was, you know, we were really getting into, you know, barrel racing. You know, we were into barrel racing, you know, running a lot and doing that. And as we were getting older, it kind of got, we transitioned into, you know, we were buying really good horses, and that gets really expensive for, you know, when you have four girls, we're all running barrels.
No
and
kidding.
And we kind of realized, yeah, it got really expensive pretty fast. And we realized that we had to start learning how to train our own and buy nice prospects. And we were getting into that, and we were, you know, buying really nice prospects off the racetrack. And we were in our area in Utah, Lane Booster stood here. And so he was, you know, really prominent in this area, and people knew. I think he wasn't as much in the other parts of the country. I mean, now people know he's a pretty household name because he's such a proven sire and a broodmare sire. But at that time, you know, it wasn't, he wasn't as dominant as he is, or prominent, I guess, in the barrel horse industry then. But unless you were in Utah, if you lived in Utah, you knew who Lane Booster was, because there were so many great horses by him. And unfortunately, he died pretty young as a sire and had no frozen semen. And so, you know, we were kind of at that point when we were buying prospects, you know, he was gone. And so, like, his oldest, you know, were, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, when we were buying those. And so we had had a couple Lane Booster horses that we really liked, and we knew we liked that bloodline. And our good friend Sue Smith is, who you guys probably know. She is, you know, she was really into the Dash to Fame horses. And so she was on the tracks always looking, you know, for Dash to Fame horses and whatnot. And she had called my dad up and told him, she said, "Hey, I know that you guys really like Lane Booster horses. And there is a really nice Idaho bred, you know, Idaho horse up here running that is Lane Booster out of a Dash to Fame mare." And that happened to be the Goodbye Lane. And so she called us, and she told us about him. And she said, you know, she was more looking for the one sired by Dash to Fame, and she really liked him. And she told my dad, mentioned it to my dad about him. And so there's a racetrack that's a couple hours away from our house in Evanston, and he was running there as a 3-year-old. And we thought we'd go up and try to get him bought and see him. And yeah. So we went up and watched him. And, I mean, of course, the day we went up there, he'd won that. Yeah, he won that race. And, you know, he's a stallion, obviously. And it's kind of funny because we went up there. We had no intentions of buying a stallion. We would have gilded him if we could have got him bought, you know, because we just wanted a really good prospect for, you know, to run barrels on. And of course he's gorgeous and perfect conformation and every, you know, all the parts of everything you want in a horse. And so, you know, we really wanted him. We watched him at the race, went and seen him, went home, and we called the owners that next day, which was a Sunday, and offered to buy him. And at the time they priced him really high for what, you know, at the time. And I think they priced him at $60,000 is what they wanted for the Goodbye Lane at that time. And, mm-hmm. They were selling him as a stallion prospect, and we knew he was going to be priced pretty high because we knew that they would, you know, want him to be sold as a stallion prospect. And we just couldn't afford that. And it just was too much for, you know, we were going to literally take him home and gild him and start him on the barrel. And so we couldn't do it, and they wouldn't budge on the price, and we had to kind of walk away from the deal, and we did. And we didn't see the Goodbye Lane for a lot of years later. And so that ended it. Obviously no one bought him.
That went story. Home.
This is just like, wow, I'm getting butterflies right now. Like,
yeah, it's kind of crazy. So he went home to Idaho with, the Morgans, Ron Morgan or Robert Morgan is his name. And, that's who owned him. And he went home with them. And, he was, just basically they bred him there. They, were, you know, pasture breeding their horses there with him. And his niece had some mares that she bred, and, you know, that all, I mean, this is going on over a span of 6 or 7 years later. You know, we ended up going to, or we were in Arizona, and, or we had seen the results in Arizona. We weren't there. And his niece, Robert's niece, Desiree Wheeler, had been running these colts, and she'd won like a slot race on one of them, and I think won the Paternity on the other and whatnot. And I was like, oh, I'm going to look up what those colts are bred like, because she'd done so well there and whatnot. And they were really nice horses. We'd watched them run. And we looked them up. And I remember calling my dad, and I just said, hey, like, I said, this is by they're by the Goodbye Lane. And my dad's like, that's that horse we went to look at and tried to buy. And I was like, oh my gosh. Cause I don't think I'd remembered his name, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know? And so we were all just dying, you know?
No kidding.
So we were dying.
I have chills right now. Yeah. That was such a crazy story.
Yeah. And so we were thinking that was kind of crazy. And so what we did is, so that April at the Dixie Classic, my dad went and talked to Desiree's dad and was like, hey, we thought that they had him at the time. And we were like, we want to breed our mares to the Goodbye Lane. And he was like, oh, you know, I think it was his brother. He said, my brother has him. You'll have to talk to him. So my dad called him up to breed him. And he's like, no, we're not really breeding outside horses, you know, whatever. So we kind of left it at that. And then my dad called him back again and was like, oh, we really want to breed our mares. We really don't like cover them. We, you know, we're just AIing them. But we would bring our mare up there, you know, to breed because we really want a Goodbye Lane. And he's like, no, I don't really want to do that. And kind of, you know, whatever. Well, next thing we knew it, we bought him.
Oh my goodness.
My dad, yeah. So my dad came out and said, well, he wouldn't breed to him. And I just said, well, you might as well sell him to us if you're not going to, you know, breed him. And they just didn't want to have, you know, they just didn't want to do the stallion business, I don't think.
Okay,
and they didn't want to, you know, stand somewhere. And not that they didn't know that he was great. I think they knew that too, you know, because he'd already produced those colts with Desiree that were really nice. And so then, next thing we knew it, we had bought this stallion. And so we were all just kind of like me and Marcy, which, so before I go on that, but, so my parents, so Mark and Linda Jarvis are my parents.
Okay.
And then my sister, Marcy Wilson, and her husband, Cole Wilson. And then me and my husband, Jared, we all own him together.
Oh, cool.
So at the time when my dad, you know, had negotiated the deal, he came out and told us all that, you know, after, cause we were kind of just waiting to see if they'd breed our mare. And then we all said, well, me and Marcy were like, well, we want to buy him too, if you guys are all good with that. And so they're like, yeah, let's all partner on him. So we all three wrote a check, and my dad took those checks up there, and my dad got in the truck that minute.
Yeah.
Like, and he was probably, I think he was in Rexburg, Idaho. So I think it was Rexburg. I'm pretty sure that's where he was. anyways, probably 4 hours, 5 hours from our house. And my dad's like, I got to go get him now before they back out of the deal.
Oh my goodness.
So my dad got in the truck and he drove straight there and got him and brought him home. And that's kind of where it all started. So
wow.
It's kind of crazy.
That's amazing. That's I just have to tell you, Steph has tears starting here.
I love a good story.
I know. I kind of do too. I get emotional too about it because it's, sorry.
That's okay.
I'm not the only one.
Yeah. Because, you know, so many things have to work out.
Mm-hmm.
So perfect for that to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. No, this is good. So,
I think about that all the time because I think, it's so crazy because if that wouldn't all happened, how different things would be for us or just even the whole industry, you know? But
oh yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy, but it's a really good story, and we, you know, we got him home, and to tell you the truth, I'll be honest, we had no idea anything about a stallion. I mean, we had bred to some really good stallions, and we knew a little bit about breeding, but I mean, nothing like we do now. I feel like we got a really good education. I feel like I just think everything with the Good by Lane, it's kind of been, it's been kind of crazy because, you know, we got him, and then we also, by chance, we live literally 2 miles from the owner of the Pink Buckle, and he is our neighbor, and he has taught us everything about breeding, freezing semen. I mean, he's a breeding genius. His name's Chad Buse, and Lance Robinson is also our great friend, and he's also a co-owner in the Pink and Ruby Buckle, and we've all been such great friends with them for years, and Chad more recently, we kind of got to know Chad because of the breeding, but they took us in and taught us everything they knew about, you know, breeding and collecting, freezing, embryo transfers. I mean, everything. I mean, there's a lot to learn in the breeding business, and so you go from, I feel like, you know, we had really good colts and really into the rodeo scene and barrel racing scene, but it's a whole different deal when you're dealing with breeding and learning how to do that. Yeah. And so it's, you know, for them to take us in and just be so good to us and help us with, and, you know, just, I think there's so many people that have to make it work. You know, it's something that you have to have a lot of help with, and, It's been awesome, and we're just very thankful that we get to be donors, and that he's been so good. You know, a dream stallion to own. I mean, he's easy to collect. He's easy to do everything with. He's very kind. He's very easy to handle people. You know, when we bring people to our place to look at him, we don't put a halter on him. We just go in his pen and they get to pet him and see him, and he's not aggressive or anything. He's pretty amazing. So we kind of lucked out on that aspect of it. So we're pretty lucky.
So that was definitely one of our questions, was asking about how hands-on you guys are with the breeding process. But it sounds like, you know, he lives at home, and you do a lot of it right next door still. And yourself?
Yeah, we do. And So my parents I live across the street from my parents, and then Marcy just lives 2 miles down the road from us, and so we're all together. He stays here. Perfect. When we first had the Good by Lane, when we got the Good by Lane, it's kind of interesting. He had never jumped a dummy, which is a little different for a stallion. You know, he had just been live covering mares, so that's a different deal. We had to train him to that. He's so smart, and he was so easy to train to that. And, you know, I mean, of course, he didn't know how to do it. We didn't know how to do it. I mean, we were kind of like, we don't know what we're doing. And luckily at that time, we also had a vet that was a couple miles down the road from us that helped. He was, you know, standing in for us for the first year. And what happened with that is we didn't live very far from there, and we were hauling him over there because we wanted him to stay at our house. And that ended up not working great because, you know, he's very smart, as horses are. And, you know, when we would go to load him in the trailer, he knew where he was going every time.
Yeah.
So he was getting a little bit wild, you know? And so we were like, that's not good. We can't be doing that. And so we ended up the next year, we decided that we were just going to learn how to do it ourselves and get a dummy at our house and keep them there. And, you know, stallions are funny. Like, you don't want to be moving them around a lot. And they do really well staying in their own place. And so, and we knew that, and we wanted him to be comfortable, and he has his own barn and his own pasture. And so he doesn't leave there. And so we don't, I mean, just like this last year, we were like, you know, we ought to have, you know, our vet come out and make sure everything, you know, check him over and any chiropractor do anything stuff right before the breeding season. And we literally did not dare load him in the trailer because we were like, what if someone ran into us? Like,
yeah,
what if
no someone, kidding.
What if we got the vet? You know? So we have everything done here. So if a vet needs to see him, he comes to our house. Mm-hmm. But we do all the collecting. And we have like our little team. We kind of have our, you know, our spots of what we do. My mom and dad collect him with my niece, Gracie. She helps him this year. I used to help collect, but now I do more. You know, I have so many mares of my own that I'm running around and doing that we collect them there. And we have help with that. And then after the semen's done, then we all have, we have to go to the airport every time we collect, and it's about an hour away. So we collect on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And so I take it on Monday, Marcy takes it on Wednesday, and my parents take it on Friday. Then me and Marcy handle all the contracts and emails. And my mom and dad, or my mom handles all this stuff with ACHA. We all just kind of have our little thing that we take care of, but we all do it as a team. And so it works pretty good. And we, I feel like, I mean, I would hope, and I mean, I would say 99.9% of people, if you talk, if they've bred to the Good by Lane, they've had a really good experience. We try to be really fair. We try to be really good with our customers. I check in all the time. You know, I check in to make sure, you know, semen got there with the vets and make sure everything looks good. And I just feel like when you can do it, I mean, it's great. I mean, oh, there's a lot of stallion owners that have to send their stallions off, and I understand that because they can't do what we're doing, you know, with our team, because we have a lot of people involved. Yeah. But I think when any time, any business, whether you're a stallion, you know, have a stallion or anything, I think it's better if you can do it yourself. I mean, I think you're always going to take care of your business better than anybody
else.
Yeah,
exactly. You're just so much more invested in it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are. And so I just, you know, we do that, and we really take care of people, and we try to make sure that they have the best experience that they can. And I think most people, you know, we hear that, you know, they're like, oh, you guys are so good to work with. And that's really our goal, is we want people to, you know, you're talking to the stallion owner. Like, when you call me, like, I own the stallion, and when you call me dad, he owns the stallion. We call Marcy, like,
that's really we own the cool, stallion. Yeah.
So we can make those decisions and, you know, and whatnot, and we work together, and you're not talking to someone that they have to ask the stallion owner this or that. Like, you're talking to us, and we get to make the stallion, you know, those, you know, decisions for the stallion that's the best for him. Yeah. And the best part too is, like, now that the Goodbye Lane is, you know, proven in who he is and whatnot, we get to make decisions that, you know, are best for him. You know, we don't have to make them, you know, on, we try to make all the best decisions for him and the best thing that's going to be for him long term. And
definitely we kind of wanted to ask about that too. Like, has it shifted from when you guys first started breeding with him, you know, how many mares you bred and whatnot, versus now you kind of have limited books on him?
It has shifted. We you know, when we first, it's so funny because I think everything happens for a reason, but, and it seems like with a Goodbye Lane, we've been really blessed with that because everything has happened for a reason. But at the first of his life, you know, we didn't buy him. When we bought him, it was like the end of April, I want to say. And we only bred, like, I mean, we only had two mares of our own.
That was another question I wanted to ask, like, earlier when you first got him, was, did you guys, like, did you already have mares that you know, would have bred, obviously, because that's what you're going there for. But then once you bought them, what kind of mares did you go shopping for? And did you, you know, invest in more brood mares too?
Yeah.
If you want to work.
Well, and that's, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we can work that in. Well, so it's kind of funny because the, like, me personally, I didn't have a mare when we bought him, and I was trying to find a mare, but it was hard to find. We didn't know for sure what we wanted, you know, to cross on him. We at that point probably would have crossed anything. And, but my parents had, they had a really good mare, which is the mother to Slingshot Lane and MJ Seeker's Lane, that's recently had a lot of success. And fly by lane, MJ fly by lane. We already had that mare, and my sister Marcy had had a really good gilding named Shady Lane, and he was by lane Linster out of her, and that's the reason we bought that mare, is he was such a nice horse. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that cross would probably work because this is a Lane's Linster stallion. So we were breeding. I mean, that's who we were calling to breed the Goodbye Lane to, was her. Okay. She was a really great mare, and she proved to be an awesome producer on the Goodbye Lane. They don't have her anymore. She was, it was an older mare and is done now. But anyway, so we purposely, were calling to breed to the Goodbye Lane because of her. And so they had that mare, and then Marcy had a neighbor that had a really nice bred Jesse James Jr. mare. And we ended up leasing that mare. My parents ended up leasing that mare. And that was the first baby that we had by the Goodbye Lane out of that mare. And her name is our first Goodbye. It's my sister's really good horse. She's won the circuit on air. That horse has won over 200,000 now. Yeah. And so that was the first mare we ever bred to the Goodbye Lane. Mm. It was a huge
obviously. Good pick.
So we had those two mares, and that was like end of April, and those are the two mares we bred only that year. Marcy didn't breed a mare, I didn't breed a mare. We just didn't have a mare to buy. We were trying to buy them, and then it got late in the year, and mm-hmm. it all happened so fast.
Yeah.
and we really weren't in the breeding business, and we had a mare, and that was it. Now, between the three of us, we probably have 35 mares. So it's definitely made a big shift. But that year, I think we did pretty good. We had a lot of people that wanted to breed to him when we knew we had purchased him. And I think we bred, I'm not sure, but I want to say like 25 mares the very first year. And then the next year we bred maybe like 35, 40. And then every year we probably added 5 to 10, And it was hard because the big thing was a Goodbye Lane. And it was hard because people would call, and it almost hurt us because, Desiree ran those colts and they ran really well, but then they didn't really breed him for a big stretch of the time. They just kind of had him, they're breeding a couple mares. I mean, only bred like a couple mares a year through those like 5 or 6 years. Yep. And so people were like, we really like the Goodbye Lane, and we know he had those winners, but he hasn't had a winner for so long. And we're like, oh no, there's no colts.
Yeah.
None of them are running.
Yeah.
And so once we told people that, they're like, oh, okay, like we'll breed to him. And so that all happened. And during that time, we were trying to, push him and stuff. But it was really a blessing in disguise that he wasn't very popular because we froze a lot of semen with him.
Oh, good.
There was multiple days that, we would collect him and no one was breeding to him. Mm-hmm. We'd have 10, 12 doses, just sitting there that we could freeze. And so it really was a blessing because that's the tricky part with these stallions is once they get popular, we never can freeze usually during the, normal breeding season because we use all of our semen most of the time. I mean, there's some days we freeze. We froze a couple times this year already, but, it's just not available to freeze very often. And you do have to get, we breed them from, we usually start around February 10th to 15th, and then we go till the end of June, and then we get pretty hot here in Utah, so then we give him that good break, vaccinate him, do all of his stuff we've got to do with him, give him a good break, and then sometimes we'll collect him in the fall a little bit to freeze, and then he gets a break for the winter. So they have to have their they have their fertility times, and they have their they need their breaks too from their big year. And so we kind of go off of that. So it really was a huge blessing that he wasn't very popular the first few years because of that. We did get a lot frozen. And so we're very grateful for that.
Cause that's quite time consuming and intensive in the lab and stuff too, to actually get.
Frozen. And expensive. I mean, I can see why people don't do that. We were lucky because like I said, we had our really good friends that were teaching us and helping us do it. And, and they're right here with us and they've been great with us to do it. And, so we have a lot of that done, but so anyway, switching into kind of like what you asked about the mares is, when we first started, you really don't know what's going to cross great on him, but I think going into it,
try a bit of everything almost.
Yeah. You kind of try everything and it's hard to, when you're an unknown stallion, you kind of take what you can get, you're wanting to breathe, you know, like, oh yeah, we can try that because, you know, we're not full either. You know, we're trying to try everything, but, you want to try to, obviously, if there's something you don't think is going to cross well. But the thing is with the Goodbye Lane, I think you could breed anything to the Goodbye Lane. I really do. And I'm not just saying that because these are, like, I've seen it and I've seen, I mean, if you look, there's so many different crosses that have done so well with the Goodbye Lane. And he's a really dominant sire in the fact that, you know, you can breed anything to him and I think you're going to get a nice horse. I really do. I don't think that, but when you breed like a really great mare, like say Go-Go Fame, you know, which is Sharon Hall's mare, then you get Hello Stella, you know? So when you breed him to really great mares, you're going to get a really great horse. And then if you breed, you know, mares that maybe need some help and you know, that you're trying to improve, you're still going to get a really nice horse. And we've seen that time and time again with him. And he also, one thing about the Goodbye Lane is his colts really have good minds. And so we have bred a lot of really hot horses that people have said, oh my, this mare is so hot. And then they bring the Goodbye Lane and then they're, you know, they're pretty leveled out. Oh, nice. So he does produce a really good mind on one. So I would, if someone called and said, oh, I've got this horse I'm going to breed, but she's, you know, super hot, you know, then I'd say, yeah, breed it because, you know, I think it's a good cross. I think he actually does really well with a hot mare. So I think it's good.
I'm just thinking about which mares I
have. I can hit you up about after.
Then I could breed to him. Oh boy.
Yeah. Well, and if you look at the good, it's funny because I thought right before we did this call, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna you know, so I don't misspeak, I'm gonna pull up his Equistats and on our Equistats, he's just over 5 million now in Equistat earners. If you look at it, it's kind of fun. Like the top one is like the top one is Hello Stella, and she's out of a Dash to Fame mare. Dash to Fame Streak and Six mare, and then the second highest earning is Force the Goodbye, and he's out of a Bird's First Down Dash mare, and then High Cotton Lane is third, and that's out of a Dash to Fame mare. Gracie's Lane is fourth, and that's out of a Dash to Fame mare. And then fifth is our first Goodbye, which is, that's the one that my mom and dad bred. And that's out of a Jesse James Jr. mare. And then French Goodbye is the next one out of a Frenchman Sky mare. And then MJ Lola Lane is next. And that's out of an Easy Illusion mare. And then Slingshot Lane is out of a Diamond Faucet mare. A Dynamite Goodbye is out of a Dock a Dynamite mare. And then all of those go down. So like the top, there's like the top, in the top four, there's three out of Dash to Fame mares. But if you go down the list, they're all out of different mares.
Yeah, every single one's different.
So it kind of goes to show you, like, I mean, there's one out of like a Holy Fox mare. There's one out of, a First Down Dash bred mare, CBC Leading Goodbye. I don't even know what that horse's sire is. But it's some kind of racehorse, but I'm not sure what it is. And then, you know, there's just so, and then Goodbye Lane Safe is a Trace Safe mare.
Oh, that is so cool.
And it just kind of goes down. Hugh Furious is out of a Purex mare. I mean, it's kind of crazy because if you go down there is some top, you know, like there's three top ones that are Goodbye are out of Dash to Fame mares, but then those ones that have all won over 100,000 are out of different
just everything. So, yeah. Oh, and that's so kinda cool. Yeah.
Under the sun. So I think it's really cool to look at that because I think it's good to look at these stats because I think that you can kind of see, you know, and it's kind of fun too on here. The average earner by the Goodbye Lane is 35,000 right now.
Wow. So that's incredible too.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Your odds are good.
Yeah.
So it's a good to look at it and to see and it's
a job
fun
well
to
done
see,
by you guys too.
Yeah.
Like to have all the offspring. That's amazing.
We've been lucky. I mean, another thing we were lucky with is when the Goodbye Lane, when we first had him, there was a lot of top trainers, you know, that were our friends, you know, whether, I don't know if it's because they were our friends or they really liked the Goodbye Lane a lot, probably because they liked the Goodbye Lane and combination, but they came and bought colts from us and they bred to him. And so it's kind of fun to see that. And you know, it's fun because now the Goodbye Lane is pretty, you know, there's been so many winners by the Goodbye Lane. It's really fun to see. But what probably a lot of people don't realize too is our biggest breeding season with him was after the pink buckle in 2018. So that would have been 2019 breeding season. Mm-hmm. So those colts would have been born in 2020. So they're three this year.
Just coming.
And so that's when we bred like NFR mares, big, big time mares. And we bred good mares before that. But like, you know, when he kind of got shoved into the spotlight after the pink buckle, those colts would have been born in 2020. So those are three this year.
There's definitely one up here in Canada, Kirsty White, Race of Spades.
Oh, yeah.
That one will be exciting. I think he's a 2020. So that'll be fun to watch for. Yeah. Her really good mare. That learned a lot too.
Yeah. What did she call her? Is it Racy she calls her?
Racy.
Or?
Yes. I can't remember her registered name. But Racy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I can't remember her registered name either. But I know that they're really excited about that colt. And so it's fun to see. And, you know, you guys have had, and we've had a lot of people from Canada that, you know, love the Goodbye Lane too. And our good friends, Grant and Ray, a little that are from up there, they, you know, they have, they own MJ Seeger's Fast Lane. And so, and she's, really came on lately with, Brandon Collins and Rayel trained her and Marcy, my sister, actually rode her for a little bit. And then Brandon has her now and she's really coming on. And so that's kind of fun. It's fun to see your friends do good too. I mean, we always want to see. I always laugh because I tell my friends, you know, I have a really good friend that has a Goodbye Lane, the fraternity last year that's done really well. And I said to her the other day, I said, you know, I always want to cheer you on, Ashley. I love that you do really good, but it's way funner when you're riding a Goodbye Lane.
Yeah.
No
one
doubt.
I always cheer my friends on, but I'm like, it's way funner when it's my friend and they're riding a Goodbye Lane.
Yeah, that's so, that must be fun. But,
the tears really be streaming when they're winning on those ones.
Yeah. So it makes it extra fun. So it's just been really fun. It's been kind of neat. And you know, he's gave us so many opportunities. I have to say that because it's kind of funny when we got him and, you know, my parents were recently retired and they were, you know, they were kind of taking this on. And me and my husband has a masonry business that's very busy. So we, you know, he runs that and he helps me a lot with the horses, but we also, I'm doing this full time now, but me and Marcy were both school teachers before this. And, when we had our kids, we both went half time and then now we both quit our jobs to just do this full time. Mm-hmm. So it's been, you know, we're just all doing it full time and it's been really fun. I mean, he's allowed us that opportunity to, you know, quit our job, you know, which is kind of the dream, you know, it doesn't get to happen very often. So, I mean, we're thankful for that. And, you know, it takes a long time to get a really good set of mares. And now I feel like I have 10 really top brood mares. And so it's fun to have those and breed them and take care of them and know them and get to, you know, And it's so nice too, because having a sire like the Goodbye Lane, you kind of get to pick where they go. You know, you don't have to just sell them to anybody. You can choose kind of where they go and follow them. And I've been lucky enough to have a lot of good clients that return every year to buy my colts. And I keep one or two for me every year. And it's just fun. It's just been really cool. I don't know.
It sounds amazing. When you got him, did you ever imagine that he would be this successful?
You know, I would like to say no, but we were pretty, like, confident that he was going to be what he is. And I know that sounds really weird. It sounds weird because people are like, oh, yeah, you didn't know. But, like, we were just like, we know. Because,
you'd seen his babies running already, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because we already knew that those few, that, you know, they'd had those three that were running super good and we knew.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, we were always like, I mean, I just remember being like, what if our breed fee is like 5,000 one day? Like, we were just like, what?
Yeah, now it's like double that.
I know. Yeah, it's 9,500 this year, which is kind of crazy. And I, you know, I mean, it's there's good and bad to that because it is expensive and I know that, but it's not for what you're getting. And
exactly.
The price that colts sell for and what they are, they're 100% worth 9,500, if not more. But you also too, like when we were starting out and we were $1,000, you know, with this breed fee the first year, it's like, I mean, I remember being like, I mean, we were like, oh, we're going to breed a ton of mares next year. And then, you know, we didn't breed as many as we thought we would, you know. Okay. And then you kind of were like, oh, and not everybody thinks that he's the next superstar. And you have to, like, you have to kind of realize that. And you mm-hmm. have to do it with some, like, confidence that you can't be too pushy with people with yeah. breeding to them. You have to kind of be like, yeah, we know. And we know this is the next horse, but you can't be so in people's face about it. You have to be like, okay, like, yeah, like we do think it would cross, and you have to spend the time. I mean, I can't tell you how many, I mean, I'm a talker, you can probably tell, but I've spent hours on the phone with people to breed to the Goodbye Lane, or just, you know, just visiting to them. Even today, like, even though he's a household name and proven, like, you know, people call and I will spend the time to mm-hmm. talk to him about, you know, what we see and what, you know, how, you know, his mannerisms, you know, what he looks like, what he's acts like. You know, I really think that's important as a stallion owner to always, you know, be an advocate for your stallion, even when they're proven. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't have to do that as much anymore. People don't call as much and say, okay, tell me about your stallion. But before, I mean, I would spend like 2 hours on the phone with people just being like, yeah. No, I promise. This will be good, you know?
And that's cool. Well, you love him, so you probably love talking about him, right?
Yeah. Well, and it was funny because, like, at the first when we had him, you know, my dad was, you know, I remember, I can't remember who it was, but someone was talking to my dad about a race. My dad said, I guarantee you, you will have a great horse if you breed to the Goodbye Lane. And I said to my dad after, I said, maybe we shouldn't say we guarantee, it.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can't really.
Lifetime can't guarantee. Really guarantee
it. And my dad's like, no, like, I can guarantee that mare and the Goodbye Lane, that's a guarantee. And then I'm just like, oh, you know, you kind of have to be, like, confident, but you can't be, you know, overly confident, I guess, but you are, you have to be, and you have to, and it's hard too, because you really don't know until you get them out there and stuff, but we felt 100% confident. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy too, because, you know, the timing with the Goodbye Lane, you know, it was way before the incentive thing, you know, when we got him, or not way before, but before the incentive thing. And a few years later, the incentive thing came out and the pink buckle started it all. And, you know, luckily, you know, Lance and Chatter are good friends. And so they, of course, came to us and wanted us to do it. And to tell you the truth, we had to really think hard about it, because it was $25,000 to get him in. And we hadn't even made any money on the Goodbye Lane. Because at that point, unless you're breeding so many horses, mm-hmm. you know, just with your costs and everything, you're just not making the money. And it was, ironically, with a Goodbye Lane, when we decided to do the pink buckle, we were going to make about $30,000 that year on the Goodbye Lane. That was going to be our profit, was about what we were going to make. And mm-hmm. we just thought, you know what, let's roll the dice. Like, we have the money, we're not going to have to, like, take our own money out and pay for the incentives. Like, we can pay for it. And we did. And then that year he won, you know, just the stallion portion of the, and he won the pink buckle. He was the high sire that year at the pink buckle, and I think we made like $27,000 back. Mm-hmm. So we made every dime back. Yeah, we've always made over that at the pink buckle. And so, you know, and then obviously it just helped catapult him into, you know, where he's at now, because then people knew him, you know, he just really made a splash mm-hmm. at the pink buckle. And that set of colts that year, his first set of colts, they were exceptional too. And there was only like 6 of them, I think, but they all were really, really big standouts. And it just all, you know, it just all worked out really good, because everyone got to kind of see him. And it was lucky too, because where he had that big gap of not breeding and whatnot, we had, you know, I mean, he was older, you know, by the time we got him. I think he was 12 when we bought him. Mm-hmm. So it was lucky, because it takes so long for, you know, that by the time those colts, you know, were of age, he was like 15, 16, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, it takes so long for these sires to get proven that if you can, you know, it was lucky that his first crop after, you know, we bought him, did as well as the, mm-hmm. as the very first crop that he had as well. So
yeah.
The cards fell really well.
And it really depends like whose hands they end up in, right?
Yeah.
At the very beginning.
Oh, it does. I mean, there's so many variables that mm-hmm. can go either way. And that's why I think too, you just have to, with these stallions, it's like, and I really do believe, like, I think people, you know, will say, you know, I mean, we have frozen semen probably the last all of my life, you know, mm-hmm. for if we use through ICSI and are smart with it, and everything goes okay with that. You know, I mean, you don't want to knock on wood with that, but we should have it for a very long time. But
yeah.
You also there has to be, I think with the industry, there has to be other stallions have to come up.
Yeah.
Like Dastafame can't be number one all the time. You know, other stallions, I mean, Dastafame's, you know, he's the king, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always been a huge producer and he always will be, but you have to it has to shift.
Yeah.
And there has to be new sires. And I think too, like with the Goodbye Lane and like other sires coming up that are proving really well just under that, you know, and are coming up too. I think that's awesome. I think it's great. Yeah. Like we need sires to be our Goodbye Lane mares. And you know, you need variety so many people breeding that, I mean, we have more than we can do. And so there's so many stallions that need to be out there that need to be proven, and it just, everything has to keep moving, and the Goodbye Lane will, you know, I mean, I think he'll always be a great sire and always be there, but there's always going to be ones with him, you know, and that's great. I think that it's a good thing. I think it pushes the industry in the right direction. And I think that the Goodbye Lane will have a lot of, sons that will be big producers. And,
yeah.
I mean, there's one, our good friend Chad Buse has My Goodbye Stings, and he's out of Stingray and then by the Goodbye Lane, and he's amazing. We get to see him all the time. And he's beautiful, and I think he's going to be a big sire too, and he's already, you know, pretty popular, and they're doing good with him, and we'll see what happens with that. But
yeah, wow.
And we're also really excited to see, because I think the Goodbye Lane mares are, I mean, they've already produced, but they're going to be a big producer like the Dastafame mares.
You definitely seen a lot of exciting crosses lately. Like, you know, you just see the Premier Horse. Lots of people are selling like in utero or planned babies and crosses. And there's some. Yeah,
that's getting really big now, selling them in utero.
It's getting big.
It's not as popular here in Canada, but I feel like it's starting to get more.
I don't know. Yeah. If we don't have like the vet power to kind of.
Yeah.
Like,
and even insurance. Like, I don't know. I looked into it, but insuring embryos in Canada is very hard to do, I think,
versus
well, and there's a lot of you know, we've learned this too, there's a lot of variables with that, with insurance, because you know, when you insure them, if the recent mare, if the donor mare is over a certain age, they won't insure them. If the recent mare is over a certain age, they won't insure them. So like when you go to those cells, like when we were at the Pink Buckle cells, you'd go in and you could go over to the insurance. There's always like an insurance agent there, and they will have a list of those in utero, you know, mares that are carrying the recent mares, and it'll say if they'll insure them or not.
Okay.
And they've already done their research, and then you can buy it at, you know, I think it's 7%. And then usually what they do is they insure them, and then they will insure the baby for like 30 days after.
Okay.
So I think that's a lot of it too, is those prices on some of those ones that can be insured. People will take the gamble. If they can't, they won't. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
So yeah, exactly.
It kind of depends on the situation. So that's, I mean, something I didn't know until this last year, that they will only insure ones at certain age, and you know what I mean? So,
yeah, I didn't realize that part either, but yeah.
Yeah. So sense. That's like some of them, you know, I'm planning on putting an embryo in the Pink Buckle cell this year, and that's what like my recent place that does that for me. I'm like, okay, this one's going to sell. It has to be a certain age, you know, so we've got to make sure we have the right recent mare to do that with. And you just have to kind of be smart about that and whatnot. But it is, the industry is, it's crazy right now, because I mean, prices are really high, but it's exciting. I think people realize there, you know, there's so much money to win out there, and it's just kind of been fun to watch.
And so many nice horses.
There is. And finally some horse people can get paid what they deserve.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of just throwing our money out the window.
Exactly. Oh.
I know. Seriously.
It's exciting for the industry in lots of ways. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. It's been fun to watch, you know, and I mean, with us, like it's been, you know, getting the Goodbye Lane when we did, and so many things have changed, and we've got to make big decisions with it, and we've got to be along for the ride. And it's been pretty cool, because a lot of people don't get to experience that, but to, you know, experience these, and these people that put on these incentives, they work really hard. And I mean, they're doing a ton for the industry, and I think they're kind of unsung heroes, but like your Pink Buckle and Ruby Buckle and Royal Crown and Breeders' Challenge, you know, all those and many more, there's tons more. But they put a lot of work into it, and a lot of, you know, us stallion owners, we put a lot of money into it, but mm-hmm. we also put, you know, those producers, they put a lot of time and money into it and effort. And then, you know, then all the people that nominate them and put them in. And I mean, it's just, it really does take a team effort for everybody to be involved and to be on board. And I think that, I mean, people, it's fun to see people that, you know, go to the Pink Buckle, and then like our really good friend, Dina Kirkpatrick. So she's one of our great friends, and she owns Gracie's Lane. And, you know, she, you know, goes to the Pink Buckle this year and wins like $130,000. I mean, just life changing money.
Yeah, no doubt.
And of course, on Gracie's Lane, so it's even funner because it's not a goodbye lane, but it's like, but you know, yeah. She's a great friend of ours and has been a huge believer in the Goodbye Lane since the beginning. And so for to see her go there and win all that money, it's just been like, I mean, that's life changing money, you know? And
yeah,
and it's fun to see it happen, and it's just really cool. So mm-hmm.
You guys do a lot of ICSI, you know, that's how you plan to preserve it and stuff. Can you like, we don't do as much of that up here either. Can you kind of describe to us a little, like, you know, just vaguely or however much you want to, on, you know, what ICSI is versus like flushing embryos?
Okay, yeah, so your flushing embryos would just be, you'd be using, I mean, you could use frozen as well, but you're basically breeding the mare, you know, going in there, and after she ovulates, you're going to go in there like 7 days later and flush an embryo. That's the, you know, the whole goal is to get the embryo out in 7 days and put it in a recent mare. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's who you're going to be mostly. I mean, for us, we don't ship out frozen anymore. We did have some frozen in Canada last year, and the years before we did some embryo transfers with, or mares carrying, but mainly you're going to do that with your ship semen. That's like our main thing. And then with the frozen ICSI, the reason ICSI is so appealing to stallions and to, I mean, I guess, and to mare owners, but it uses very, very little frozen semen. So you're not using like a full straw to breed one mare. So preserving your
ICSI customers.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, yeah, they're basically using very little sperm, okay, you know, to make the ICSI process work. And it's a complicated process, but basically what you're doing is you're going in, instead of, you know, going in and breeding your mare and flushing the embryo 7 days or whatever days later, you're going in and pulling out like the little, they're called oocytes, and they do it. It's called an aspiration. And they're basically taking out these little, basically like little eggs, you know, okay, and you might get like 20 when they aspirate, and they take them out, and then basically you're shipping them to a lab. Oh, okay. So the mare actually never has semen put in her when you're doing ICSI. You're basically taking the eggs out before, shipping them to a lab or wherever you're at, you know, or wherever lab you're, you know, there's probably like 6 or 7 major ones in the United States, and there's Biogen's in Canada as well. And you're sending them to those labs, and then they have our semen already stored there. So all those labs have our frozen semen. They will take the frozen semen out, and they watch them and make sure, like, there's so many processes and steps in ICSI. So you might get like 15 eggs, and then like maybe 7 or 8 die off, and then they only, you know, fertilize or inject, you know, like 6 or 7.
Okay.
And then they watch.
Oh, I just had a question. Oh, we don't have to include this, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So with ICSI, since you're only taking like 20 little sperm, so normally it's the quickest, strongest one that gets the egg, right? So do you think it makes a difference, like, just picking a few? Like, what if there was a better one in there that didn't get the chance?
You know,
I don't know. We don't have to include this. But
I don't know. That's a good question, but I don't know. But that's,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of, you're playing God a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So, you're kind of, you know, so it's, you're kind of playing with it. But I don't think, I mean, people have their theories on ICSI, you know, they say, you know, maybe it's not as good or whatever, but there, I mean, there's been a lot of great ICSI calls.
Yeah. And I feel like if you didn't have a very good one, like, it wouldn't fertilize and it probably wouldn't survive.
Yeah, and,
right.
And that's so true. It's probably going to be for survival of the fittest at that point. And that's probably the ones that do die off, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, when you fertilize those, maybe it wasn't the best sperm, mm-hmm, and that one dies off. And that's probably what happens. It has to be, you know, a good strong one probably to work anyways. So, but yeah. And then once you fertilize those, you know, you might lose, you know, every step, you know, they have so many steps. I mean, it might, I think it takes like a week after you aspirate to go through all these steps. And then they just sit there and watch them. They're basically watching them in the lab. And then once they go into embryos, then, you know, you might have 3 or 2 or 0, you know, it just depends on how it goes. But say you get 3, then the mare owner gets to decide, like, okay, so you have 3 embryos that worked. Are you going to put 1 in a mare and freeze 2? Are you going to put all 3 in mares? Are you going to, what are you going to do at that point? Mm-hmm. Or you can freeze all of them. And that's why with ICSI, it's nice. You can do it all year long. So we do a ton in the fall and they just start freezing them, you know? Yeah. So we have, I mean, we have, I can't even say how many frozen of our clients, probably in the 400 or 500 range of frozen embryos just waiting to be put in mares.
So how,
that are by the good virus.
How do you decide which mares you're going to do ICSI with? Because I feel like that's a little more invasive than just flushing eggs.
So a lot of times, well, it just, okay, so it's kind of switched. Because, and I don't know with other, you know, stallions if it splits as much, but it has with the good by lane because our books are so, you know, because we limit our books. So this year, for example, I'll go to this real quick. So this year, we had over 350 people request a contract to ship semen.
For the, for 2023. Oh my gosh.
Yes. For 2023. We cut it off the second day at 350.
Oh my goodness.
So, the second day.
Yeah. Yes. And I tell people that, I think some people are like, oh yeah, right. But it's true.
You're not joking.
I'm not lying. It's true. So we had that many and we cut it off. And you'll talk to people. There was a lot of people upset because we had to actually cut it off. And we said, sorry, and they're like, well, it's like 3 o'clock on the day you open. And we're like, sorry, we're full.
Wow.
Like, we can't do anymore.
Yeah. And you could, like, if you had to go through 1,000 different applications, oh my gosh.
And it is hard. Yeah. We just kind of cut it off. And I mean, there's, you know, and we maybe lose some good mares because, you know, they didn't get in time or whatever, but it's hard because there's so many. I mean, if people are willing to pay $9,500 for a breed fee, they have a good mare. I mean, you're usually got
also
a pretty great mare. And so we have so many of those. And we have right now, we took, I think we took 125 this year is what we took. It's the least we took in recent years. The reason why is, there's a lot of variables that you have to think of as a stallion owner. And we have a lot of ICSI too. So we do a bunch of ICSI contracts. And with our situation is we do that many and mainly to make sure that we can get to everybody. We don't want to have to have an issue. You know, we know how many we can do with the goodbye lane. We can do a lot more than that. But we also, this year where he's getting older, we want to be able to freeze a little. We also want to be able to, you know, and we have like, I think 12 rebreeds for this year. So, you know, you have those on top of it that we have to take care of. Okay. And then the other interesting, and I was just having this conversation with Chad Bias when he was breeding my mare the other day. And, you know, as a stallion owner, you have to think because we have all these frozen embryos and then we have these shipped ones, you know, and it's like, how many are going to unfreeze? We don't know because we don't get to decide that. That's, you know, once they have their embryo, that's the mare owner's decision. And so are we going to have 100 of those unfreeze this year? Or are we going to have 20 unfreeze? Yeah. We just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and so you kind of have to think of that. And then we have our ICSI contracts. And like we send out, you know, if we send out 100 in ICSI contracts, is there going to be 40 or is there going to be 100 that work? You know, you just don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're kind of just guessing on it. And so we're doing a lot more ICSI now. So we have shortened up our shift just because he's getting older. He's still producing. We've been collecting. We're still doing the same amount, same quality, everything. But it's given us a little opportunity to maybe, you know, freeze a little bit. Or we also, you know, sometimes if we have a great mare call that say, oh, we're ready and we do have extra semen that day, we'll ship to them, you know. So we have some kind of variables that kind of go each way that you have to think of. Mm-hmm. And with the good selling, you know, you don't want to over flood the market. You want these people that are breeding, you know, you don't want them to be 700 good by lanes in 1 year, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of have to, we really do watch everything real close and how we do it. And, you know, we have a really big waiting list. We have 200 people on our wait list. So if we do happen to decide, oh yeah, we can open up some more. We have a lot of people we can call or we can just start letting people, cause we have, I mean, on a collection day, we have 2 or 3 people that call just to say, hey, like, is there any way I can get in if you have extra? You know, I mean, we do, we do a lot of that too, you know, so we have that, you know, going on as well. So we definitely have more mares than we can breed.
Yeah.
So, which is a great, it's a great problem, but it's also something you have to kind of deal with, you know, that we're
to reel yourself in. Great problem.
Yeah.
Think of the future, whereas like, you could do it.
And I mean, it could get real easy to get real greedy and just be like, oh yeah, we'll book everybody, you know, but you can't, mm-hmm. you know, you just have to, you have to do what's best for him and best for us. And we have to stay sane. So
stay afloat. You know, I can imagine it would be like, it would be hard to, to cut it off.
And you know, it's changed so much from even like 5 years ago. We work with great vets. We know the great vets. We know how we work well with them. We know what's going on. It's a lot easier now than it was because we just know so much more. And like, you know, with a higher breed fee comes, you know, people that are, you know, they're really invested in it, you know, and they make sure their vet's really well, you know, doing a good job, and they go to great vets and they call us and say, hey, I'm in this area, what vet should I go to? And which is so great because I was going to say, okay, this vet's awesome. Here's, you know, three or four vets in your area that we work with that are really good at doing their job.
Yeah.
And so, and there's so many good vets, and they're a huge part of the breeding process. The vet is so important, who you use and what they're doing. And we just have some really good vets that we work with, and they know the Goodbye Lane semen. They know how to, you know, they know everything, and they know, you know, how we collect and what we do and what time we collect. And it's just easier now.
There's a big science to it.
Oh, yes.
There is. Yeah. There's a lot of breeding. And I mean, even just like from my own mares, I mean, what I've learned, you know, I mean, I feel like I can give very good advice when a mare owner calls and says, oh, I have this mare doing this. I'm like, oh yeah, try this, you know, this will work, you know, or try that. And same with foaling, you know, we foal out all of our own mares. We don't take them anywhere. And so at first it was a little scary, I'm not gonna lie, but now I feel like I can do it in my sleep, you know. I feel like I've seen everything, know how to do it. I feel really comfortable. I feel like my mares are safe with us, you know, having them here. And I feel really confident about all of it. And it just takes so much time and just learning how to do it and knowing your own mares. And also I say to people too, you know, if they really want to get into the breeding business, I think that you're better off, you know, if they're like, oh, I'm going to buy an embryo from so-and-so and I'm going to buy this and that. And that's great too. But I think you're better off to go buy a really nice mare or two or three really nice mares, whatever you can afford, and start there. And hey, we did the same thing. Like I started with, like, I bought some really nice mares, what we could afford, and we started breeding them, and I sold those colts and I kept one for me, but I sold some. And then when I made some money, I sold those mares and took that money I made, and we bought really big mares. So now, like, every one of my mares, like, they're big producers. Like, you know, they produced a really big horses, or they've done really well themselves, and we've had to spend some money. I mean, they're not cheap, you know, but we have upgraded. We've just like, oh, we've had great mares, and they've been really good mares for us and have really done well for us. But you have to look at it like, could I sell this mare and her baby in full? And I did that. We sold a mare in full and on her side, really nice mare. And I went and bought two really big Dash to Fame mares.
Nice.
And we took that money, you know, and we bought a Dash to Fame mare, and then we bought a really big run-in mare that ran 116 on the track, won 70,000 on the track. Like she ran really well, and she's going to be a really big producer for us. And then we bought Goodbye Lane Stace's mother, was a really good Goodbye Lane. And then we bought a Dash to Fame mare that is Cassie Mowry's running the Goodbye Lane out of her this year. She just won a big maturity in Texas not too long ago. And so it looks like she's going to be a big producer, but you just kind of have to, I think with the breeding, you just always like, it's like, oh yeah, I know you love that mare and it's great, but you have to look at it and see like, okay, like how can we get better? And that's how you know, and I think that's how it's taken us, you know, 10 years to get really, really good mares, because you just have to, unless you have, you know, $500,000.
Yeah, it's not going to happen overnight.
You know? Yeah. And you do. And it is too. One thing I did want to say about, I have a hard time because, you know, you hear people saying, oh, well, I would love to have a stallion, but you know, I'm not rich and stuff. And that kind of gets under my skin because it's like, we didn't go pay a ton of money for the Goodbye Lane.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say what we paid for him, but it wasn't much, but it we got really lucky with him, but we also we didn't just have when the Pink Buckle came to us, it was like, we had to really think about spending $25,000 to get in there. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it was a huge investment for us. So it wasn't like we were just like, you know, and even people that have money that go buy a sign and stuff, it's still hard.
It's a lot of work, and
it doesn't mean just because you have money doesn't mean that you can, you know, these people that have money that have bought signs, they have put a lot of work into it, and they're making it work because they're really good horsemen too, you know? So they, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, have made it because of, you know, not because of just because of money, you know, you have to be smart and you have to, you know, invest. And there's a lot of people that have great mares that, you know, that are huge mares that didn't pay a lot for them, you know, but they raised them and, you know, so you kind of have to. And I think that too, I think with the horse thing too, it can probably right now with everything being so expensive, you have to, you know, people can get thinking, oh, God, I don't have the money to do it. And I can't be like that, but you can, you can figure it out and slowly work your way up and upgrade and sell. It might take a while, but I mean, even with us, like buying, you know, really good mares, it takes a while and it takes an investment, you know? And you just have to keep going and doing it and being positive about it. So, I don't know.
No, I love that. That's some good,
I know, me too.
That's some good advice. And I feel like that's, you know, one of the secrets to making it in the horse world is, you have to put the work in and that's sometimes how you do kind of move on and move up.
Take the risks and
learning and trading up sometimes. Like same with, we have some friends that did that just with their barrel horses and stuff too. Like in the last 7-8 years, I feel like our friend group, like their horses have rotated a lot and like people have grown as jockeys and like the horses in the
really
pens.
It's really cool to watch.
Some horses have been, you know, exactly how you've been talking, but just more with barrel horses and specific traded up. And it's, it's just neat to hear you say that in, you know, that sector of the horse world.
And I think too, like our industry, I think it's really cool because I think too, it's like, I mean, I have a friend too, she's trying to buy a prospect right now, and she has some money, and she's torn between buying two really, you know, two nice ones or buying, you know, I hate to say it, but an expensive Goodbye Lane, but they are expensive and they are, but I'm trying to push her towards the one. Cause it's like that one can make you
quality over quantity.
If you go buy
that one, who knows, like you might be going to the NFR in 5 years. And that's what's cool about our industry is that really can happen. Yeah. And it's like, you know, there's so much knowledge out there and so many, you know, great people. And, you know, like, for example, like when we, I said this a million times on this podcast, so you're probably sick of it, but things fell so in place for us. And we, you know, me and my sister, you know, I felt like we were doing a good job training. We had some really good horses, but our training has really stepped up. And that has a lot to do with who's been in our life because of the Goodbye Lane, which is kind of crazy because when we first got the Goodbye Lane, before he was, you know, I think our oldest was like 2 or 3. One of our friends called, Kimmy Wall called me and said, hey, I have a friend at a rodeo by you guys that's needing a place to stay. Do you care if you guys have a place that she can come stay? And it was Dina Kirkpatrick. And, we said, we never met Dina before ever. And we said, sure. And, literally from that day on, we've been best friends with Dina.
That's so cool.
She has literally been like a second mom to me, and I call her for everything. I mean, if me or Marcy have any problems with our horses or training or anything, she comes out and stays with us for a couple weeks in the summer and we work on horses, and she's really just made us step up our game. And like, we've learned so much more about training horses you know, she came to our house and, you know, the day she seen the Goodbye Lane, she was like, she loved him. And she went home with Gracie's Lane. That's how she got Gracie's Lane. She came and stayed with us. And she was just like, it was funny because we all said, okay, Dad, like, don't push the Goodbye Lane on her right when she gets out of her trailer. Like, first time we meet her, don't be like, you got to come see the Goodbye Lane, you know? And so we were all like, oh, don't embarrass us, you know? Like, we were like, you know, because he's this big trainer and, you know, this has made so many great horses. And then, you know, she gets out of the trailer and we, you know, get introduced to her. And the next day after she, you know, she got here real late one night when she was feeding her horses the first night. And then we were like, hey, well, we want to show you some colts and we have a stallion. And it was funny because I'm pretty sure Kimmy had told her, hey, they have a stallion, so they're probably going to show you their colts and their stallion. And, you know, Dina was like, oh, yeah, that's great. And luck would have it, you know, I mean, yeah. It's been good for both of us because she got to see the Goodbye Lane and she loved him instantly. And she was just was like, loved him instantly. Yeah. And just thought he was amazing. And not just because she was being nice, she really did love him. And she loved the colt and she ended up buying Gracie's Lane. And she came back, I think, in the fall and picked her up. And she was just a weanling at that time.
I was going to ask, oh, and she was just a weanling. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Well, Steph, you should tell her what you have up your sleeve for a Goodbye Lane. CJ.
Yeah, so I sold I sold a paint daughter of Dr. Nick Barr to a lady in Texas. And she told me that she was planning to breed her to the Goodbye Lane this year. I think like in like around the time of now. And she's hoping for a stallion. But she said I could have first right of refusal on a filly.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, that would be fun.
So cool.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Is she shipping this year or is she doing Ixie, do you know?
I think
she said she was aerating, so I'm assuming that would be Ixie.
Aspirating.
Yeah, aspirating. Sorry. Oh my god. What did I say? Aerating.
Hey, I totally get what you're saying.
It's because she's a farmer.
It's kind of like aerating, I guess. I mean,
and she's actually a veterinarian as well. But yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm pretty sure I approved the semen just the other day for that man.
Cool. But, so yeah, it should be happening soon.
Yep. Yeah. Well, there was a girl that she bred a streak of La Jolla mare, and I don't know how, but it's got paint in it or whatever. I don't know how. I'm not good on color. People be like, oh, what color do you think I'll get? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know.
See
how
what happens.
Some people be like, oh, there's no way that'll be that color because of the gene. And I'm like, yeah, I have no idea because I could care less if it's purple.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, I could care less. But there is one that was born and a girl in Montana has it, and it's a paint, and it's a black and white paint Goodbye Lane, which is like,
ooh, flashy.
I mean, not common.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so I was like, I seriously like love that colt. I'm like, I mean, if I were to buy a Goodbye Lane, I've never even really had it. I've never even had a paint, but I don't know. I just think it's so cool that it's a Goodbye Lane and it's a paint because it's so unique. I mean,
wait,
I
is that the streak in La Jolla you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Something, I don't know how that all works, but I don't, I mean, obviously there's paint on that because there's no paint in the Goodbye Lane.
Yeah, I had a filly, a filly out of a streak in La Jolla mare and she was a paint, but a solid paint.
Oh, really? Yeah. So I'm guessing the streak in La Jolla has the paint gene or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, or I don't know if the mare or whatever, but anyways, yeah. So it's really cute. So I'm
cool.
Kind of excited to do that.
Yeah, this mare, she's had solids and paint. So you never know. It could be a flashy one too in Texas.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool. I just love when they're just, it's just different. You know, I mean, it's fun. The Goodbye Lane has a lot of blacks and browns and bays, and which I love. I love that color, but I love the dark horses. But I also think it's fun to have something kind of unique and different. So. Yeah. Kind of fun. But definitely. Yeah, so
is it a busy time of season right now for you guys? Are you foaling and
starting? So not yet, not for not with my mares. My mom and dad, I think, have had I think they have only had one, but it wasn't a Goodbye Lane. It was a mare that I think that they bought that was in full. Because typically we don't, and we're not like trying to get our mares like January babies by any means, because we live in Utah, so I mean, we can do it. We have barns and stuff, but we do get some winter, and we're not crazy terrible winter, but some parts of Utah are a lot worse than we are. But this winter has been pretty rough, so I'm glad that ours are a little bit later. But our first baby is due March, I think, 20th. It's our Firewater on the Rocks mare is due first, and she's due, I think, the 20th. So I think our earliest date's like the 15th, and then she'll probably have it a little bit later, probably into March. But and then we have kind of a crazy schedule because we had March, and then we have one or two every night or every week. Not every night, every week. So that is so I kind of, it was funny last night, it's kind of funny story, because I heard something out in our barn last night. So we have foaling cameras, so I turned on, you know, the cameras, I looked out there and I was like, oh my gosh, someone's in our barn. There was a, like, it looked like a cell phone light was walking around. And I was like, I jumped up and I got my husband up and I'm like, there's someone in our barn. And Jared's like, what? You know, and we're looking, and I had forgot I had moved a mare in that has a mask on with a light.
Oh!
And she was in there walking around. And I was just like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I am losing it. Because we moved her in. We bred her yesterday. We're going to do an embryo transfer with her next week. And so we have her in the barn, and she's got her little mask on with her little light. You know, we just both get them ready to go early.
Did you guys realize before you went outside at least?
Yes, I realized. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the three-faced mare. She's just got her mask on.
That's funny.
So it was funny. But yeah, so we're excited. We love breeding season. We love pulling season and breeding season. But we love, I mean, it's really busy because, you know, we're riding and trying to do everything. And then also, you know, everything with that. It's fun. It's fun to see all the new babies. And I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get. It's just fun to see them and
it's like Christmas
and get them here. Mm-hmm. It is. It's like kind of scary, but it's fun too. Yeah. You know, we've had a good experience with it. So hopefully everything, I mean, I've been walking through the mares every week and in the pasture, and they're all really big and pregnant. So they look good. And I think it'll be good.
Another random question. So for your broodmare herd, what do you feed them year round when they're pregnant and just chilling in the winter, baking the babies?
Yeah. So I'm a big alfalfa feeder. So I know that everyone has their different opinions. I've had the best, I just think horses do the best on alfalfa.
Yeah.
We feed alfalfa year round and they are pretty much on self-feed alfalfa. We have them in big pasture sections and they're in with like four mares at a piece. And then we keep that to them. We do feed some grass with it, depending on, you know, what's going on. But we mainly feed alfalfa all the time. But another really important thing I think you need to have with your mares is we feed a mineral that has lysine and different, you know, growth things that we give free choice all year round. And we keep that with them all the time. And we use it's called Mormans. So Moormans. And, I actually became like a distributor. I don't sell it to anybody. I just do it because we go through quite a bit of it and I can get it by the pallet.
Mm-hmm.
But we have it shipped to us and we keep it in everything. So we have it in all of our mares, like all the mares and all the growing babies, everything. And then like horses I'm riding and are in, I have them on Zestera licks inside the, I keep that to them. But we do keep them on Zestera, but all the mares and that stay on the Mormons. And then I do the Redmond hanging rock. It's a salt lick. I think those are really important. So you always want a mineral with them and a rock. You know, and then I've had really good, I have everything. I haven't had any issues.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't get, I don't even want to say OCDs because I want to knock on wood when I say that, but we don't get any growth issues with that. And I feed my babies the same, you know, I don't grain anything. And I know some people, I grain my horses, I run, you know, they're on like platinum and that. But as far as our colt, I don't know. I don't like to get them too big, too fast, overgrowing them. I just think give them a good hay, mineral and salt, and I think you're good. And we've had no growth issues. We've had no epiphysitis. Like we've really had really good luck with that. And I think that people get a little overgrain in them and stuff sometimes. And I know people, you talk to some big places and friends of ours, I know that grain a lot and they do really well too. Mm-hmm. So, but we don't, I personally don't, you know, give any grain to that. My dad maybe does a little bit different with theirs. I know they kind of go back and forth too, but I can't say for sure what they do on theirs. But, you know, cause we do the Goodbye Lane together but they have their horses, they're raising and we have ours. So we have two different programs, you know, when we do it together, but it's different too, you know? And so they kind of do their thing and we do our thing too. And, you know, cause we live at different places and stuff. I just think too, just keeping them, you know, we make sure our mares, you know, keep their feet trimmed and make sure like if I have any of them, you know, when we are checking them, I'll have the vet check their teeth and just make sure, you know, I don't do their teeth often, but every other year, probably I'll, you know, make sure that they're good to go, on that. So they don't have any issues. And we've been lucky. They've been great breeders and great mothers. And we've never had a, We've never had a milk. We had one mare that was a new mare. She was our first baby that was having a hard time with milk. And one thing I will say that we used that was really good is we would feed her malted beer in oats. And so if you ever have that issue, that will make their milk come in pretty well. Oh, so
interesting.
I like that fact.
Yeah. That's yeah. Awesome. So if you just go buy beer that, you know, has a malt in it.
Yeah.
And then just mix it in oats. They love it too. And they'll drink it or they'll eat it with the oats and kind of just make it flossy and they'll drink it and kind of eat it together. And their milk will come in.
Cool.
But yeah, so that's a good trick too with that. But yeah, so that's kind of what we feed them. And like I said, I'm big into feeding alfalfa, but I don't know. Do you guys have alfalfa? Do you guys feed alfalfa up there a lot?
Yeah. Like if we, lots of our hay though, like just on our land where we make hay, I'd like to get a little bit more alfalfa concentration, but it's like, it's really hard to spray some of our foxtail and weeds out of alfalfa unless it's pure alfalfa. So I don't know. We have like, it's a grass mix usually, but I always find myself like with the riding horses or like the pregnant mamas, I feel like I like adding quite a bit of alfalfa and I'll do it in the form of cubes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to feed, if I can, just feed alfalfa cubes, but
yeah, even straight alfalfa cubes to
pricey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, you know, and I will say with alfalfa, we only buy first and second crop because here in Utah, like, you know, with the third crop, it gets a little hot. And so we don't buy third crop.
We're lucky if we get a second. This like
third?
Oh, yeah.
Shorter.
Yeah. 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 Oh, so we definitely get a third crop here. But we, and, you know, we are super lucky. We live in, you know, everything we, you know, have says Spanish Fork. But we actually live in a little town called Palmyra. It's, we don't even have a stoplight. It's just tiny. But but our main town that's about 10 minutes from us where we, you know, grocery shop and do everything is called Spanish Fork. And but our area is a farming area. So all of our hay is raised right here, you know, and it's real close to us and we just pull it in. And so it's, we're really lucky because we have really access to really good hay. So it's not, and it's not crazy pricey like some of parts of the United States, you know, for places that don't grow a lot of hay. But, so, but yeah, like I said, we just buy first and second. We don't ever buy third. So we try to kind of stay away from that. So
cool.
So that's kind of what we do.
Well, thanks for sharing.
So, and and we don't, and I've never fed cubes. We just had access to hay. So we just never done the cube thing, but I know a lot of people like that too. So it's a good option.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to grow a little patch of straight alfalfa here one of these years.
Yeah, but for sure. For sure.
I just did have one question. Like, so after the Goodbye Lane, do you think you would, do the stallion thing again, or do you have any plans for that?
Oh gosh, you know, that's a question we've all kind of been, you know, thinking about. I think,
yeah,
I mean, definitely if we did anything, it would be a son of him for sure. But, I don't know, you know, I don't know if my parents will, if they want to do it. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of back and forth. It would have to be kind of something like how the Goodbye Lane happened. If something happened or we had one that was really special that we thought we would keep and raise. I mean, I have one that, you know, is now that probably could be a really good stud prospect, but I don't know. It's hard because, you know, with ICSI and everything, we probably will have the Goodbye Lane semen available hopefully forever.
That's
so it's
true.
Hard to kind of step away from that. And I'm for sure not going to say there's not a possibility of that because there is for sure. But you know, it's a long growth with this stallion, improving a stallion. And I don't know, we'll just have to kind of see, you know, kind of what presents itself, but we definitely are, you know, those spots in the Pink Buckle and Breeders' Challenge and Royal Crown, like they'll always be the Goodbye Lane spot. So we won't take him out to put anything else in unless we were out of semen, you know, but, you know, if there was some reason we couldn't do it anymore, but, you know, we're not expecting that to happen. We're hoping we'll be doing it for a long time. So, but yeah, we, you know, there's always opportunities and there might be something that comes up. Like I dare not, you know, I never thought we'd own a stallion either. So I don't know.
Never it know. Could,
yeah, it could no be. Kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
So we'll see kind of what happens, I guess. But we just, I mean, I don't know. It's the Goodbye Lane. It's just, we are very thankful for him. I mean, I know that like it's easy to get greedy with things and kind of that, you know, in the mindset of just, you know, oh, this is just our life and this is how it goes. But I really truly am thankful for him and just, you know, just I mean, it's so many opportunities that he's opened, and just friends that we know just because of the Goodbye Lane, or people we've met because of the Goodbye Lane, and people that like are genuinely happy for the Goodbye Lane. I mean, there's, I mean, you have your people that, you know, I mean, when we first had him and stuff, there was people that, you know, you would hear would say stuff about him that, you know, wasn't true and stuff, and just trying to, always, you know, take
those.
Him
there's
down.
There's going
to
be those people everywhere.
There's always that. And that was a time that, like, I honestly, like, there was one day, like, I literally, like, and I was upset about it. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do the science thing. I mean, and the first year we had him too, like, we had a couple mares that died having babies. And it's just, I mean, just different things happen. And it was hard. Like, I was like, oh, this is hard. And, like, people are hard on you. But I think when you are confident in your horse and you have to be thick-skinned and you have to be like, okay, I don't care what Joe Blow says about the Goodbye Lane. Like, he can think his thing, we'll think our thing. And, and you know, I mean, there's people that are, oh, you know, he's not as good as they think he is, or this and that. And you have to just have to, you really have to let it just go in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
And you do, and you have to, I think I've become a little bit more of a confident person with that, because I think it's just, you have to be like, no, he's ours, and like, he's good, and like, you can say what you want, and you don't have to breed to him.
Yeah, exactly.
A million other people that want to, you know, and
go breed to the next.
Have to, and you're just like, and you know what, he's not gonna be, you know, everybody's ideal stallion, but he's ours for sure. And I mean, we don't know why he wouldn't be, because, you know, we think he's the number one choice. So obviously, you know, we're a little biased too, but you know, it's just been a good ride, and most people are really good, and they really do enjoy the success, and we have a lot of really good friends that have, you know, rode the ride with us, and you know, they have a lot of nice colts, and they've, you know, been there from the beginning, and it's just been a fun journey. But I mean, the negative outweighs the good outweighs the negative for sure, and you just have to roll with it, and. Mm-hmm. And, you know, keep believing in, you know, what you're doing and what's going to happen. Because it does, that's the thing too with these young stallions. I mean, these stallion owners, they're investing a lot, and they're really believing in their stallion without even knowing what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool because I will say this, when the pink buckle, the first year and it happened, and, you know, he, you know, made a big splash of the pink buckle, and people really took, you know, that, you know, looked what he was and knew what he was and could see that. Bill Myers, you know, he came up to my dad and just said, you know, he's like, oh, I just want to tell you guys, like, this is going to be the right, you know, just the right of your life, you know, and it truly really has.
Oh, but, yeah,
so I just think that, gosh, I don't know why I'm crying, but, you know, it's just, I think people like that in the industry that, you know, are that way, you know, and I honestly think too, like, I just think
happy
like,
happy for you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, excited for you.
Like, even the stallions that are coming up, like, for example, like, Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, or, you know, those Epic Leader, you know, I mean, he's doing really well, and just different ones, whatever. It's like, I'm genuinely happy for him. I think that,
excited,
you know, it's
too.
Yeah. You know, there's, I mean, and our friends have that, you know, really good stallion that's coming up too, and like Chad with his stallion, it's like, I mean, you just really have to, I mean, it just, you know what's going to happen for him, and they have this young stallion, and hope that it does, because it's a lot of work, but yeah, there's good people, you know, that, I mean, you know, just that really are happy for you, and we've gotten to be such good friends with all the other stallion owners. I think that's too, like, kind of a misconception too, that people like, oh, we're in, you know, competition with the Busbys or this, whatever. Well, the Busbys are great friends, you know, they stay here with us in the summer, and, you know, we're good friends with them, and we want them to do just as good as us. And you know, all of our other stallions with friends, I mean, we've all became friends because of our stallions, and it's been fun. So it's been fun to see that. And, you know, just all the things that you just
come with it,
be good to do, you know, that come with it, are pretty neat and exciting. And I think we have a really good industry, and there's a lot of really, really good people that barrel race. And I think that, you know, some people like to, you know, look at the negative with some of the negative people, but there are some really good people in the horse industry. Yeah. And and they'd do anything for you, you know. And if I know if we needed anything, we could call any of the other stallion owners and they'd have our back and we'd have theirs, you know. So I think that, you know, and any of our clients, you know, you try to really help everybody out. And I think there's a lot of good people in our industry. There's a lot of really good people that make it all work.
Well, even with this podcast, like since we started this podcast too, we've gotten to know so many people that, you know, we never would have talked to or made connections through people we've had on the podcast.
And into friends.
And even the people, you know, that you think, oh, they're so successful and they, you know, they'd never talk to me. Like, it's so cool actually meeting them and talking to them and seeing how encouraging and down to earth they are, which I don't know. It's just been really cool. And I love your story too, just hearing about all that part as well.
Yeah, it's fun. And I think everybody has a story and mm-hmm. so many things have to fall in place for, especially these stallions, you know, and I even think often about how many stallions were overlooked because they didn't get the opportunity and that happens. And I think too, you know, sometimes in our industry right now, people have the attitude of, well, these incentives are going to drive it down too because, you know, some of these stallions that won't get in. But I honestly think when they're turned into a great stallion, they'll get in.
Yeah.
And if you look at that, like Epic Leader wasn't in the Pink Buckle and Ain't Seen Nothing Yet wasn't in the Pink Buckle and all those, but they got in.
Yeah.
You know, they got in somehow or they, you know, they made it work and they get in or they get into the new incentive that's there and it kind of like catapults them in there, you know.
Yeah.
And so you have to just, I think that greatness comes to the top no matter what. Mm-hmm. I think this attitude of, well, you could have the greatest stallion ever, but if they're not an incentive, they're not going to be great. I don't believe that. And I really don't, because I think you'll rise either way.
Yeah. I mean, people will notice.
You'll still breed mares, even though you're not an incentive, you know, whatever, but if your stallion, you know, if you slowly can get your stallion to rise and then mm-hmm. get him in there, you know, it is hard, but like, doable. There's so many incentives now too. You can get into multi, you know, different ones too. Maybe not as big as, you know, some, but
we've gotten so many incentives up here
in Canada, lately, in the last,
which
like,
is really
years.
Cool to see. And accessible to lots of people as well. So that's encouraging to see
that's
as
good.
Well.
That's really good. Yeah, because they started a Royal Crown one up there, didn't they?
Yeah.
In Canada.
Yeah, that one's gonna pay really good.
The Royal Crown's good too. So they're good people and you know, they do a really good job and mm-hmm. and that's what like all these, you know, these incentives, you know, we work with the people closely and they're really good people and they want what's good for the industry and so mm-hmm. they're wanting everybody to, you know, get into it and I think it's good. I think our industry is moving to a good place and there's so many more opportunities for everybody. I mean, even being a breeder, you know, there's so many, you know, times for like, you know, just even with me and my husband, we talked this year, you know, when we were originally first starting to breed, it was just like, oh yeah, like we have our colts for sale and it's like whoever wants them, will sell them, you know? And now it's kind of shifted to, we really are trying to make sure they're in really good hands because, it's important, you know, it's important to, you know, for us in the breeder too, for us, our payday down the road, like you want them with really good people. And like this year it was fun. Like we, Jordan Briggs bought one of our babies, which we're excited about. And, I think that she will do a really good job with, the filly she bought, obviously she's amazing. And
it's only just begun, honestly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, cause like you said, you really started breeding lots. Those were 2020s and I can only imagine like what the coming like 5 years are going to be like. It'll be.
Yeah,
I know. It's kind of crazy. Well, and we laugh because I'll tell you, this is kind of funny, but, a big part of the reason I sold some of my mares and upgraded and we took the money we were making on, you know, I'd sell two colts and I'd buy a really expensive mare and I'd, you know, and the colts are selling for a lot, but I'm buying these mares for a lot. And cause we're really big on mare power. So it's funny cause you know, we laughed because we all started kind of upgrading our mares because we're like, if we're going to compete, we know what we're breeding. Like we're breeding Stingrays and, you know, Rosa's Cantina and like, Go Fame and like these huge mares, like, and all the mares that are run the NFR. Like, I mean, when they went this year, it's like, oh my gosh, we bred that horse mother. We bred her. We bred, you know, like all that, like they're all coming. And we're like, we're not going to be able to compete like, with our own.
Oh, so, man.
We just kind of laughed and we're like, we have to get better mirrors because, I mean, we thought our mirrors were good, but we had to get, like, proven big mirrors.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, what we're breeding. And there's just so many, you know, standout mirrors that we've bred now. And just how lucky we've been to breed them. And, I mean, just amazing mirrors that have been producers themselves, or, you know, winners themselves. And it's just fun to see, you know, what'll happen. I mean, he deserves it. He's such an amazing horse and glad that, you know, he's gotten to show the world. I'm just
he probably doesn't even know how cool he is.
No, I don't think he does. Like, I laugh because when I pull my horses out and stuff after we're dinner and I ride them down our road and around our block, you know, we live on a road where no one drives. And so I walk him and his pasture's on that side. So whenever I come out, he trots along with me when I walk.
Oh, yeah.
And so he comes out and he trots and he thinks he's pretty cool, like oh, he good. Is. And so I laugh and he's right out my front door. So I get to see him. So I do wake up every morning and I look out my window and I'm like, is he standing? Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just make sure he's standing and everything's good. So yeah. I make sure that he's okay and everything. So, but we know he's getting older and we're just thankful we've had him for this long. And I mean, mm-hmm. we're hoping he lives forever. But, thankful for
I have one more question. So what are his babies like to ride? Like, I don't know. You said they're nice. They have a good personality, but what are they? Yeah. What are they like
What's
to ride?
Feel?
Yeah.
So the thing about the Goodbye Lane, so I mean, to ride them, they're so easy. And the thing about them is I would say one rider that probably wouldn't get along with a Goodbye Lane is one that's really hard on a horse.
Oh, okay.
Because, they're not sensitive, but they are kind of like, you know, you show them something and they'll do it.
Okay,
and
this is my fast. Kind of horse.
Yes, like you show them or whatever. But like if I went, you know, if you went up there and you got after them a lot and jerked on them a lot or whatever, they're going to get real like, oh, I don't know what to do with you, you know, type of horse. But they're super good minded. You can do about anything with them. Even ones that I've had that like, you know, my fraternity colt for last year, he was way spooky for some reason. And he's always been kind of spooky and just kind of like, not anything weird, but just like spooky. And he's the only good bedlam that I've had that's been kind of like that. And, but he is the smartest horse. Like, but like, so with him, I've had to be careful because I don't really get after him a lot when he does that. Because I know that he'll get kind of offended by it, you know, but they're just easy and they want to please. I think that's why they're so good is they don't have the attitude of like, oh, I'll show you and I'm doing it my way. It's like, you show me and I'll do it. You know, like they like to, you know, like you show them something and you make sure you do it right because they remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you go and tune on them funny and do something, they're like, oh, I'll do that always on the third barrel. Like you have to kind of be a little careful with them that way, but they're real smart and they do, they just, I think they want to be good. Mm-hmm. They just want to be. Like, they're like, okay, I want to win. Like, I want to do good, and I want to do what showed me, you know.
Yeah.
And they have really good minds. Even if you have one that's a little hotter, they still are really smart, you know. Yeah. I mean, I haven't had many that's hot. So, but they're not, they're just always going to do that. One thing that they do that is a tad annoying, and it's kind of just how they are, but they're chewers, so they love to mess things up.
Oh,
so like if you tie him by if I tie him by my brake light, I can't ever tie him because they will undo the whole brake system.
Oh,
like,
no.
In a matter of a minute.
Oh,
and I
goodness.
Think the reason they're that way, and like if you tie a bunch of colts up, they will all be untied, unbuckled their halters, and loose in minutes. It's like the craziest thing. Like you have to really intentionally they're like Houdinis and I think the reason they do that is because they're really smart. And so they have to be doing something all the time.
Yeah.
So like my colt, like that I have out there, like he will take his manger and flip it all the way down his pen and back just to play with it.
That's funny.
Like he's just like, I mean, they're just funny. And like, they're just, I mean, if anything's tied by him, they're going to untie it. They're going to, you know, I mean, they're, and it is kind of annoying because they will chew on things and you have to kind of, I have a bottle of no chew spray on a lot of stuff I have to spray. And like, I mean, for example, I pulled my truck up to our pasture to load a mare and I had a horse chew on my truck.
Oh my goodness.
Like, so, I mean, they're just I think they just get really bored.
There has to be like a quirk.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a better one.
Yeah. You have to be careful. Like, you, yeah.
It's not like,
yeah, like they'll lean back and try to see like your saddle and stuff. Like, you have to be a little careful with them, just with like, or you'll get mad at them because they'll chew on things. But it's their personality. They just are very, and they love, and they are very, they're very friendly. They love people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They probably just love to work then too.
Yeah, and that's another good thing is, like, when we halter break and stuff with them, they're really easy because they tend to really like you anyways. They just kind of come out like half dog anyways that way. So you have to be a little bit careful with that, just so they don't get overly, like, you know. But they're just cool horses, and I think that he's pretty dominant in the way that they are very similar. You know, they're very athletic horses. They're fast. But they're very user friendly. There's a ton of youth that run Goodbye Lanes, which I think speaks volumes of him, that they get along with a lot of kids. And people that haven't trained a lot of horses do really well too with a Goodbye Lane. So, and that's why they're so hard to find. A lot of people are like, oh, you can't get a Goodbye Lane. Well, the reason why is a lot of people won't sell them. It's kind of their forever horse, you know, they want to keep them forever because they're good kid horses, or they're good, you know, they're just good to be around. So I think that's kind of the attraction for a lot of people with a Goodbye Lane, is their minds, and they're really trainable. Mm-hmm. So, which is a good thing.
When you said, like, you have a really long wait list, so I don't know if you were talking, like, is this semen or is this like babies on the ground? Like, do you ever have any to sell, or are they kind of all spoken for?
So we have a really long wait list for semen. So, like, we only do that for that year. Like, our wait list right now, we'll probably never get to anybody on the wait list this year. I mean, we still have people give up their contracts. But as far as babies, I have a lot of people that inquire about babies before, but I never start really. I say, yeah, I'll let you know when they get here. And I let them know. Is I just have people contact me. I have returning clients that contact me. I have people that, you know, and not necessarily it has to be someone that's bought for me before, but if I think, like, oh, that would be a good area for that horse to go, or person that really wants one. You know, I have people that have never trained one that really want one, and I will sell one to them, you know. And so it just kind of varies. But, what I usually do is I always post mine on social media when they're born. And then that's how I kind of put them out there. And that's the only advertising I do, is I post which out of which mare. And then I kind of decide what I want. And then in the summer, they're all sold. So people come out, and a lot of girls coming through for rodeos and stuff will come by and end up buying one, you know, or whatnot and stuff and whatever. Or they know what mares we have and they want one out of a certain mare. So, yeah. So we do sell quite a bit. And whatnot. And I think ours are probably the most affordable Goodbye Lanes out there, because we have so many. And I mean they're not cheap, but they're we don't, you know, I don't price them crazy high, you know, but because I worry more about getting them into whoever I want them to, rather than, you know, more so on, you know, the price. But that's a little more important to me. Yeah, and obviously we're not paying a breed fee and stuff. We can, you know, we have a little more margin to make money on it than other people that are paying the breed fee and embryo transfers and different, you know what I mean, different things like that. They have a lot more cost in it than we do, so their price is going to be probably a little bit higher. But, but you know, there's still a lot of people that sell them and do really well with them, and you know, so kind of both ends of the spectrum. And I sell mine right after I wean them. I will sell them while they're still in the baby, and then sell them. Dad is more, he usually waits till they're like a yearling. He likes to kind of wait till later, but sometimes it's hard to keep, you know, if I have 10 babies and then like my 10, you know, it's easier for me to sell them in the fall and get ready for the next year than have 10 extra babies all winter, you know? So if I'm going to sell them, that's selling them usually as a baby. So,
cool.
So that's kind of how we do it. And we don't do it. We probably should do the sell thing, because I know the sell, you never know. You usually get a little bit more out of a sell, but we haven't really done the sell thing that much, a little bit. But I might put one in. I have three yearlings that are super nice. And if I can decide which one to sell, I might put one in the pink buckle sell this next fall.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
yeah, people that are shopping that, there, I feel like are also serious, you know, when you look at the results for those and yeah, that'd be super fun. Yeah, and excited too, to have one in the sale.
Yeah, for sure. And I think too, like, I mean, I sell them younger, and I think when, if I do sell like a yearling or a 2 year old, I mean, if you, you know, they're really hard to get at that age too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to buy a Goodbye Lane, you're usually buying it as a baby or a yearling, but 2 and 3 year olds are really hard to find as a Goodbye Lane because people yeah. committed to keep them, you know, and they are going to have them in training. So I think that's a little bit harder to get one later, but
yeah.
So I don't know. I think they go for a little more in the cells too, but, mm-hmm. and okay. you know how cells are, you just never know how they're going to be, if they're going to be real high or whatnot, but
yeah.
But there's been some great, I mean, the Goodbye Lanes that have sold through, like the pink and ruby buckle cells and all these cells. I mean, they've been exceptional horses and they have gone for a lot, but they've been exceptional horses too. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like they're worth their price as well. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I'm making plans. Me and the ambient stuff are just like
steaming. Yeah. I wonder, like, is there people yeah. in the industry, like you guys kind of partner on a stallion, and like, mm-hmm. I wonder if people partner on mares, you know, to get a really big producing mare, Stevie, maybe people need to.
Yeah.
Well, we've already been talking about this with the Goodbye Lane, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there is a lot of people that do partner on big mares. I think that's yeah. going to be, that's more of a, you know, I think the shift of, you know, I mean, obviously stallion's really important, but the mare is huge too. And mm-hmm. people know that. I mean, even though we're a stallion owner, I mean, we invest in big mares, you know, because we know how important that is. And mm-hmm. the mares, I mean, mare, it's made this shift because it used to be, you know, at the first when we were breeding the Goodbye Lane, people, you know, oh, we want a colt. And now everybody wants a filly. Mm-hmm. So they are realizing that opportunities a filly can bring, you know, because now embryos are selling for a lot. And,
yeah.
you know, the breeding has just advanced so much. And, you know, fillies, and the nice thing about a filly too is like if you do go spend a lot of money and get a really nice colt or filly and then, you know, they get hurt, you still have something, you know, that you can breed yeah. after if yeah. they do have an injury or something or whatnot,
yeah.
you know? So I think that it's kind of changed, but yeah, I do think there is, I'm not partnered with anybody on any mares. But I would buy an embryo from a big mare, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. I would do that. And I think that
yeah.
people are doing that now. I mean, it's just, you know, people know that those mares are important and mm-hmm. they're buying those. That, and I think that's why they're buying these in utero too, is because they don't, that's out of a big mare, you know, and then they're like, oh, this is my chance to get
yeah.
an embryo and it's already done. You know, mm-hmm. exactly. I don't have to go do the breeding process as
yeah,
well.
Big
so,
part of it's done. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Which is cool. I think it's cool that the mares are dominating too. I think it's fun because I think that they are getting their, you know, credit where they deserved. And I think that it is worth it. These mares are worth the money, you know.
So when do his books open for this next season? So I can put it in my calendar.
The day and time. Yeah.
So we open on August 1st is what okay. we're planning on. And we'll probably announce it in July. This year we didn't announce it. We just kind of let people know as they called in and stuff. And we did August 1st is like what we did. Or maybe it was the 15th. I can't remember. But it is August. So,
okay.
I mean, anybody that's interested will want to check with us in July and make sure that the date is August 1st. We always say August 1st, and then we're like, why did we say August 1st? Because we're so busy. That because, like, even though our breeding season is the end of June, like, we are done, it's like you still have, like, you're waiting on those mares that are bred in June, making sure everything's good and getting everybody paid and everything yeah. finalized and breeders' reports. And it's just, like, crazy that time of year. And mm-hmm. we're, you know, we have. And then like the fraternities are crazy in August. And mm-hmm. so we always say every year, me and Marcy are like, why did we say August 1st? Like, I can't put that. But then we've committed to it because we say August 1st, but we will do August sometimes. So it'll okay. either be the 1st or the 15th, but that's when we plan on that. And you know, we haven't decided on our fee next year. You know, we're just kind of playing it by ear every year. We don't know if it'll be the same or it'll go up. It'll at least be the same, but mm-hmm. we don't know for sure, you know. We kind of try to sit down in the summer and kind of get our game plan mm-hmm. of, you know, we look at, you know, what we want to accomplish next year and kind of what, you know, is going to happen and kind of decide that and kind of get a game plan of.
And as know. A family to boot.
Yeah, that's so yes. cool.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's good. And we have nieces that my oldest sister, her kids ride and they've been involved in it and they've got to help, you know, they help us, you know, and stuff with on breeding days and different things, and so they get to be involved, and it's been fun for them too. You know, they have really good horses that they get to run, and my little niece, she won the high school finals this year, and she's won the state twice in Utah, and so that's been cool on a Goodbye Lane. So
it's fun to watch, kind of fun too.
Yeah, he's made an impact on every one of our lives, whether it's financially or helping us become better riders or do anything. It's just, there's so many times I'm just like, oh, I really can't believe that, like, we get to own the Goodbye Lane. I really think that.
I'm
this is crazy. But, and you know, I laugh and I tell this story real quick too, but we were at the Heritage Cell this last year. We like to go there because there's, you know, I'm a sucker for a race horse. I mean, I love a good cowbred horse. I know that people cross them with, you know, the Goodbye Lane, and they do really well and everything, but I'm just like a sucker for a running horse. Like, I just you know, I just love the racehorse still. And we actually bred one mare, but we got two babies. We did embryo flushes, but to Kavia and Corona, and we're going to put them in the cells next year. So that's been kind of fun, just doing a little bit of different stuff too with the racehorse stuff. But me and my husband, we like to go out to the Heritage Cell and go, and we always say, oh, we're just going to look, but we always buy something, you know. And our good friend Lance Robinson always takes horses out there, and so he always has a trailer home, and he's our neighbor, so we always have a ride home for him. So it's even worse because we're convenient. Like, oh, we can send that horse. we can fly out there and send it home with Lance. But we were there, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, and we were talking to some people, and they were barrel racers, and they were from, I think, Oklahoma or Texas somewhere, and they were just kind of asking us, talking to us about barrel racing, because they were pulling out the same mares we were. And they're like, oh, you guys must be barrel racers, because they were looking at the Dash to Fame mares and different, you know, different mares that kind of were more barrel horse, you know, geared. And I said, oh, yeah, we're barrel racers. We're looking for some brood mares, you know. And they said, well, where are you from? And we said, oh, we're from Spanish Fork, Utah. And the lady says, really? That's where the Goodbye Lane's from. Do you know him? And I just laughed and I said, yeah, he's my neighbor.
Really?
So we kind of laughed. So we thought it was funny because, you know, we were just like, oh, you know, it was funny. And
that's cute.
You know, and a guy that was out there with us too, that's our neighbor, he was saying to him, we were always laughing because it was just funny. But, you know, it's just funny because he's kind of a household name and people know where he lives. You know, they didn't know who we were, of course. But
I hope whoever that was listens to this.
Yeah, so it was funny too because people will say stuff, you know, and they'll not know that we own the Goodbye Lane. And I get out of there as fast as I can because I don't want them to feel awkward, you know.
Yeah.
And even if it's something good, I'm like, oh, they don't realize that, you know, that's kind of fun. But
anyway. Well, we appreciate you sharing all that. That was amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is
an epic podcast. Yeah, honestly.
Definitely.
So, yeah, so many good stories and a good look into the industry.
People probably be like, "Wow, that girl can talk." So yeah, there's some stories for you.
Yeah,
no, I love it.
Well, I'm excited though for people to listen to this one.
Everyone will be so pumped. He's definitely a household name in Canada too. Like, there's not a lot of them up here, but if you,
but we have one of the Rosa babies.
Yes,
Mill Iron.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen them, so I'm excited to see that one. That'll be fun. I'm excited that, because you know, it is tricky with Canada getting our, you know, it's an issue with the border trying to get, I mean, fresh semen across there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we can get frozen stuff, but, you know, and we recently had frozen up there with Dr. Kirby Finkbeiner, and we had frozen up there, and we did that. We got a lot of contracts filled up there, but the thing is as we move forward with a Goodbye Lane, it's hard to sell just regular frozen contracts because, you know, in our standpoint is it takes so much semen to breed one mare with the frozen typically hundreds with that one frozen draw that we would normally do one mare with. We can do hundreds with Ixie.
Gotcha.
And so it just is a standpoint as the Goodbye Lane gets older and conserving his frozen semen, we had to quit sending this was our last year doing frozen contracts in Canada, which we would have loved to do it up there. But, and then the border getting it across with the fresh is just not a good option because it gets stopped at the border and, you know,
could take
only last for a few days. And it just is kind of a logistical nightmare to get it up there. And so, but we do have Ixie contracts up there with Biogen. They have their lab up there now. So I think it's Dr. Hyde, maybe? I think they're the ones that are doing aspirations and stuff up there and working with Biogen. I think that, you know, I'm not sure the logistics of it, but that's who, you know, is calling to approve and stuff. But yeah, so we do have it up there. So that is an option for anybody that wants to read up there. But we do have a lot of Canadian clients, but they have their mares down here in the
States.
And then
you could breed pooled if you just have your mare down there. Yeah.
Yeah. So we do have quite a few contracts with Canadian clients that they have their mares in Texas usually, and they just have them down there at a facility and they're breeding them down there.
But gotta do what you gotta do.
When you compare to the fee of doing ICSI, you know, honestly, maybe it wouldn't be as much to truck them across the border. You know, it's a 10-hour drive, whatever. Not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And then leave them for a couple months and just try to get one or two or flush them or get them pregnant or whatever, you know. So
We both kind of liked the idea of like being a little boutique breeder, like having a little collection of just like one or two nice babies every now and then.
I think people miss the boat with that because I think I see so many people and they're like, oh, well, I have 15 mares and I'm breeding them to, you know, this one, whatever. And it's like, oh, I think you're better off to have two outstanding mares.
Yeah, exactly.
And breed to two outstanding stallions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can sell one colt, keep one, sell one, keep one, and then you're making money. And then you can buy like another big Dastay mare or a big, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you can kind of grow that way. But I feel like unless you have a crazy budget, I think it's good to go small and go big.
Well, and here's the thing. It costs the same amount to feed these horses and care for them.
Once they're here, everything's the same.
Yeah.
So that's why I tell people all the time, you know, some people are like, you know, and people that do it and they have a successful program, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
They do. If you look at these big programs that have big ones, they're not scared to pay the breed fee because they know they need that horse.
Yeah.
Because when they have that horse, then they, you know, the nominations are exactly the same.
Yeah.
The feed bills, the same. Everything's the same. Once you have that baby here, the only thing that's separate is like the cost of your mare, you know, of actually buying your mare, and then the stallion.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you can invest in those two things, and if you can only, you know, if you have, say, $30,000, you're like, well, I could buy three pretty nice mares. I would go buy a $30,000 dash. That's what I would do. You know, I mean, that's just, I mean, I did it both ways. Trust me. I did it both too. And I will say this, and I, you know, my husband's like, oh, you should probably stop telling people that because, you know, but I laugh because I say like you live once.
Right. And we're like, only getting older.
You never get to repeat this time of your life. Like go buy the really nice mare, like go buy her, like go buy it, figure it out. And breed to the Good By Lane, or breed to Dash to Fame, or breed to, you know, Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, or whoever you want, like some big, or Blazing Gentlelina, whoever you want to, like, do it. Because you only get to do it one time. Like, you, and you know, and there's a point, like, when I'm 80 years old, I'm going to look back and be like, hey, that was like a heck of a ride. Like, I got to do that, and I got to have 10 of the best mares, and I got to breed to the Good By Lane. Like, you know what I mean? And first, I could look back and say, oh man, like, I have some really good mares, and I have, like, I raised an NFR horse or I raised a horse and I went to the NFR, like, you know, something like that. Like you can look back, but you're never going to look back and be like, oh, I spent too much money. I really don't think.
No,
I totally agree with you.
Maybe if you're in trouble, but like, I feel like if you can make it and like pay your bills and do it, like make it work and do it.
See,
you
know? And I just love this because it's going to be so encouraging to the people who just look and say, oh, like I'm never going to get there.
And I honestly think in your mindset and like anything, you can't be like that. And not just breeding horses. I think like, I know that like our area to live is super expensive to buy property. And I remember like people being like, you know, when I'm in high school, oh, we'll never be able to live where where our parents live because it's so expensive to live here, you know, to buy property. But I was like, no, like I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get a really good job and I'm going to buy property down here and I'm going to have my horses. And I did like that. You know, and I, you know, had some luck along the way too. But I think when you start thinking, you know, I can't do that. I think you have to think, I can get a really good mare and I can breed this or I can do that. Like, or I can have a really good horse or I can, you know, whatever. Like you just have to make it work and you have to have the mindset of I'll do whatever it takes to make it work.
Exactly.
And you can make anything work if you just make sure you have the mindset. I think it's so important because you hear so many people be like, oh, well, I'll never have this because of this. Well, that's like the worst thing you can say. Like you have to think, like, you know, and it's just like, if I feel like if you're a hard worker and you can, and you are smart about things and you have a good mindset, like, you'll do it.
I read a quote the other day and it said, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
Yeah, it's so and true. I was like, yeah,
wow, that's simple, but that's very accurate.
Yeah.
So my friend Jordan Briggs, and she stayed with us a couple of years when she's been rodeoing in our area. We have a really big rodeo in July in our area that's huge. It's Spanish Forks Rodeo, and it pays like over $10,000. So everybody comes, you know, it's a big rodeo.
Yep.
And she was here at our place, and she, you know, we were riding one day, and I was on my fraternity colt, and she ended up buying the full sister to my fraternity colt from this last year. And she really liked him and loved that horse. And she was like, oh, I love him, you know, whatever. And I said, well, I have his full sister, you know, and I haven't sold her. Like, you should look at her. And she wanted to look at all the colts and stuff. And so we went through and looked at them, and she really liked her and looked at all these colts. And of course we had one out of a Blazing Gentilina mare, but I kept hers. And she was wanting that one, you know, cause she likes that breeding too. And,
yeah.
And we were kind of looking at all the colts and stuff. And she said to me, so she had qualified for this. There was a Salt Lake, like WCRA or whatever that is, but I can't remember what it is. Their big rodeo was in Salt Lake too that weekend. It's the same time as our rodeo.
Okay.
And she had qualified for like the short go, and the short go paid $25,000 to win or whatever. And she had qualified for it, and she was in the, there was like seven of them, I think, that qualified for the top. And she was walking through the colts, and she said to me, she said, I think I want to buy this colt, this filly, but I'm going to wait and see how tonight goes. It was that night. And I said, okay, that's fine. Or it was the next night. I said, that's fine. And she goes, I'm going to see if I can get this. Hope I can get this rodeo one, and I'm going to buy her. And I said, okay.
I'll have some cash to hand over to you and load her up.
Yeah. Yeah. So she thought, you know, I'll just take that money and buy the baby. And so I said, okay, you know, well, that day we left, and I told them, just come in our house and hang out, and you can do their laundry, either doing laundry and stuff. And me and my family, I have twins that are 9, and so me and my husband and my kids, we left, and we went to like the parade because it's our town celebration. And I came back, and when I came back, on my counter was a check written to me for the amount for the filly from Jordan. And it was that same day. We had just talked about it. And so I walk out to her trailer with the papers, and I signed the transfer, and I gave them to her, and I said, hey, I thought you were going to wait and see how it went. She goes, no, I'm going to win it, because I got to pay for this filly.
So I need to light a fire.
Whoa. So I just thought it was so cool, because I always thought of that. Like, I honestly, for confidence, because she was like, I'm going to go win it. I've just bought this filly. Like, I'm confident that my horse can go win tonight, and I can buy this filly. And her husband looked at me, he's like, no, don't worry. Even if she doesn't win this, we're still buying the filly. So we still have the money. And we just kind of laughed. But I said, you know, I said, that's, I tell people that story because it's such a good example of Jordan. Like, she's such a competitor, and she's an amazing trainer, but she also, to have the confidence to do that, to write a check and be like, I'm winning tonight. Like,
yeah.
I've got it. Like,
that's really like, cool.
You know, and guess what? I waited up till midnight. It was a late rodeo, and I watched it, and she won it.
That's so awesome.
I was going to ask. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's funny because she didn't, and she's, you know, she's very humble, and she, I was waiting for her to text me and say, guess what? I won it, you know, but she didn't. When she texted me, and she texted me and said, I think I'll name that filly Salty, because it was in Salt Lake.
Oh, cool.
And so I laughed. So, and that's all she said. And I just wrote back and I said, oh my gosh. So she didn't tell me she won it. She just, you know, so I just laughed because, awesome. And then she won Ogden that week too, and like made a ton of money there. And so just very confident. And I think, I mean, she's a perfect example. Like, she's the world champion, and like, I mean, just like, she can do it. Mm-hmm. And she has a mindset of like, I guarantee you won't ever hear Jordan say, well, I think I could win that rodeo. Like, no, like, he's got to just have confidence.
I'm doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, you got to do it. So I think she's a great example of like, I mean, she's a great role model. And so, yeah,
we should have her on next.
You should get her. She's pretty amazing. And her and her husband, they have a good thing going, and they're hard workers. And
yeah,
I think just, they'd be awesome. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah. And I hope I gave you some good information.
No, that was like,
oh, you definitely did.
So, yeah,
definitely
loved it.
Yeah,
I love this story. Oh my gosh, it's just I can't wait to listen to this one again.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually really nervous because I'm nervous to hear how I talk. So
awesome.
Well, it's great talking to you guys.
Yeah, you too. Nice.
Thank
to,
you
nice
so much
you
for yeah. taking the time.
Yeah, no problem. It was good. It's a really cold day here, so I'm was waiting to go ride anyway, so it worked out good. Really good.
Yeah,
so,
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sounds good. Cool. Okay, thanks so much.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.